Hello, thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Since the time of Adam and Eve, family problems have existed. Their first son, Cain, would eventually go on to kill his younger brother, Abel. Cain became a farmer and Abel was a shepherd. Both brought offerings to God and God respected the offering of Abel while having no respect for the offering brought by Cain. The Bible does not give us a reason why God had no respect for Cain's offering, but had respect for Abel's offering. We do know that this difference caused hard feelings for Cain, and that God confronted Cain over the hard feelings. God told Cain that if he did well, he would be accepted, and that if he didn't do well, sin would become part of his life. Instead of taking God's talk to heart, Cain became even more bitter, and this led to him eventually killing Abel. Genesis 4, verse 1. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived, and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. God then asked where Abel was. And this made Cain even angrier and more defensive. As a punishment to Cain, Cain would have to endure marginal crop harvests that would cause him to be poor. Eventually, Cain left the area where Abel and he had lived and moved to the land of Nod, which was to the east of Eden. Verse 9. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. Cain and Abel, the first two sons of Adam and Eve, somehow developed an adversarial relationship, to the point where Cain felt the need to kill Abel. When Cain killed Abel, he had no idea of knowing that thousands of years later, a proverb would be written that would have been used to summarize their relationship. Proverbs 17, verse 17. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. For some, friends are closer than family, and an example of friendship given to us in Proverbs shows that those who gossip will separate friends, while those who will not repeat a story seek the friendship and love of others. Proverbs 17, verse 7. excellent speech becometh not a fool, much less do lying lips a prince. A gift is as a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Whithersoever it turneth, it prospereth. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Within the New Testament, there is a concept of brotherly love, which is derived from Strong's Greek word 5360, Philadelphia, just like the city in Pennsylvania. Brotherly love is the type of love and concern that good friends and siblings have for each other. When we think of the brothers and sisters we have in Christ, it is brotherly love we are to have for each other. In Revelation, it was to the angel of the church in Philadelphia that many positive attributes were mentioned. The church at Philadelphia had an open door that only they themselves could shut. The only limitations on the church at Philadelphia were self-imposed. They're described as having little strength and yet being incredibly faithful to Jesus. It is to this church, which finds itself among people who actually worship Satan while being deceived into thinking they worship God the Father and Jesus Christ. It is this church which is told to hold fast to what they have, that nobody take their crown. Revelation 3, verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of the heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Philadelphia, or brotherly love, is more than just the city where a church is located. It is a way of life for those who are called by Jesus Christ. It is God's people who are to genuinely love others, to hate evil, and stay close to what is good, while being kind and affectionate with each other through brotherly love. In all that we do, including living peaceably with all men, feeding our enemies, overcoming evil with good, we have as a baseline brotherly love, where together we are fervent in the Spirit, rejoice in hope, help brothers and sisters in Christ who are needy, and given to hospitality. Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. In our Christian faith, there are many qualities we are to establish in our life as we escape the corruption of this world. We can never give up on our fight to escape the corruption and lust of this world and must remain diligent in our fight to escape. We begin building on our diligence by adding virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, ending in love. Between godliness and love, we add brotherly kindness or brotherly love. If we lack any of these attributes, including brotherly love, we will be barren, unfruitful, and blind. Brotherly kindness or brotherly love is not necessarily an immediate attribute we add to our Christian faith. It's listed near the end of the attributes right before love. We should not conclude, for instance, because we have knowledge, an attribute listed much earlier, that we also have brotherly love. Each of these attributes needs to be developed so that we never fall, so that we can enter into the kingdom of God. 2 Peter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Sometimes the Greek word Philadelphia is translated as love of the brethren. In his first letter, Paul tells us to be sober as we reflect on eternal life that will be given to us at the return of Jesus Christ, focusing our attention on what is holy instead of the lusts of this world. We need to be mindful that the hope of eternal life we have is made possible by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. It is through Jesus Christ that we believe in God the Father, and our belief in God the Father is made evident through our genuine and fervent brotherly love. Without genuine and fervent brotherly love, we have this huge question mark over us. If we have purified our souls in obeying the truth through the Holy Spirit, and instead of living a life with the hope of eternal life, we live a life facing the reality of mortality. Verse 21. Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God? Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. When writing to the Thessalonians, Paul wrote of the brotherly love they had for each other. They may have had other issues, but they had genuine and fervent brotherly love for each other and for brethren living in other cities. With all of this brotherly love for each other, Paul reminded them to study, to be quiet, to be focused on their own affairs, and to keep productively busy. Each of the qualities of studying to be quiet, to be focused on their own affairs, and to keep productively busy is in addition to brotherly love, which they already did well. Studying to be quiet, keeping focused on one's own affairs, and keeping productively busy are not the same as brotherly love. We cannot cheapen brotherly love by saying that we have studied the Bible, or kept our nose in our own business, or have kept busy. We show brotherly kindness through fervent and genuine affection for each other, in addition to all of these other things we should also be doing. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, and do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that we may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. In his first letter, John tells us that perfect love destroys fear and removes torment from our life. He adds that people who fear are not perfect in love, and that anyone who claims to love God while hating his brother or sister is a liar. He concludes that if we do not love our brother whom we have seen, how can we love God whom we have not seen? This is why if we love God the Father through Jesus Christ, we must also love our brother. 1 John 4, verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that hath loved not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. Brotherly love is not optional with God. It is a requirement. There is nothing good that comes from claiming to love God the Father and Jesus Christ when we do not have fervent and genuine brotherly love for each other. Those who claim to love God the Father and Jesus Christ who do not have brotherly love are phonies. To borrow a line from a song in the musical Phantom of the Opera, these people are paper faces on parade. They live a life that is an illusion and pretend to be something they are not. Genuine and fervently brotherly love is more than just a casual encounter. If our thought of brotherly love is to afford the same kindness and concern we may have during a chance encounter with a stranger, we are setting our expectations too low for brotherly love. We are falling short by a large mark. This doesn't mean that we should treat a stranger with anything less than courtesy and respect. It does mean we should treat our brothers and sisters much, much better with genuine and fervent brotherly love. Peter gives some examples of what brotherly love could look like. These are examples and not an inclusive or exhaustive list. There could be many more ways how we could show brotherly love than what Peter has written in his letter. We are not to have disputes with our spiritual brothers and sisters, and we are to have compassion for each other beyond courtesy and touching on extending pity. We never return evil when evil is thrown our way, and should seek to be a blessing in the life of others as we are called to inherit a blessing. When we speak, the words we use must be measured and intended to promote peace rather than conflict, knowing that God looks favorably on the righteous, including our spiritual brothers and sisters. 1 Peter 3, verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. The concept of brotherly love is so important that hours before his torture and crucifixion, Jesus spoke of a new commandment that we love one another as Jesus loved us. Jesus also said that all men would know we are the disciples of Jesus if we have love for one another. John 13, verse 33. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. We know it is God the Father who calls people to the faith, and yet we must wonder why some people reject the calling. Jesus, in some of the parables, spoke of seed falling on stony ground. Could brethren who lack brotherly love for one another be that stony ground of which Jesus spoke? Could some people be called, look our way, and because they do not see brotherly love, they conclude we could not possibly be disciples of Jesus? That's exactly what Jesus is alluding to. When we have love for each other, when we have brotherly love, others will know we are disciples of Jesus. When others do not see brotherly love between brethren, whose fault is it anyway when they conclude we are not disciples of Jesus? Could it be because of us? God's calling is ineffective, because instead of being the faithful church of God where brotherly loves abound, we instead have allowed ourselves to become the hypocritical church of God. Brotherly love is so important that it is the dividing tool used by Jesus Christ during his return. In a parable given in Matthew 25, where all nations shall be judged, we remember judgment is now on the house of God, and what Jesus speaks of for all nations in Matthew 25 applies now to the church of God. As we live our life, we must remember Jesus Christ is a shepherd who will separate sheep from goats. And in this parable, we want to be sheep. We do not want to be goats. The sheep will be kept on the right hand of Jesus and inherit eternal life. The goats will be kept on the left hand and be given damnation. In this parable, what is the difference between the two? Brotherly love. Jesus discusses no fault on doctrine or understanding or even obedience. Jesus contrasts differences in brotherly love. The sheep have brotherly love. They feed the hungry and welcome newcomers. They help the less fortunate and people who are oppressed. The sheep, in practicing brotherly love, never consider that in reality they show love towards Jesus and in reality do all things for Jesus. On the other hand, the left hand, the goats only focus on serving Jesus and gladly serve Jesus while neglecting other people. The parable from Matthew shows us that we must have brotherly love, and without it, we will not be saved. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? And when saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee, and hungered, or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Brotherly love is so important for us to have for each other that even though the Thessalonians had no problem with brotherly love, Paul asked that God and Jesus Christ allow their brotherly love to grow even more. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 11. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. The Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, with all his saints. To the Corinthians, Paul wrote that there are those who are addicted to the ministry of the saints. Paul is telling us to affiliate ourselves with people who get high from serving the brethren and to submit ourselves to such people. For too long in the Church of God, the ministry has lorded over people rather than serving people, as if only the people needed to be addicted to service. A ministry that lords its authority over the people is a clear and present danger to brotherly love, salvation, and the hope of the world. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. To the Galatians, Paul writes that as Christians, we are called to a life of liberty. Our freedoms in Jesus Christ are not an occasion to serve the lust of the flesh in an attempt to overthrow the kingdom of God, but through love to serve one another. When we love others as ourselves, when we have brotherly love, we fulfill the law. When we have brotherly love for each other, we do not seek the destruction of others or our own self-aggrandizement. We do not act out of selfish motivation, but out of love. Galatians 5, verse 7. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. It is when we walk in the Spirit that we limit the pull of the flesh and we grow the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Woven into this tapestry of the fruit of the Spirit is brotherly love. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. In Colossians, Paul wrote of the importance of love in our life, showing that love is the glue of spiritual perfection. Colossians 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Peter writes in his first letter that we are to be watchful with prayer and above all have love, as love covers sins. Without love, we cannot give glory to God through Jesus Christ in what we do. 1 Peter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. It is through brotherly love that the brethren are able to dwell in unity. And with unity comes an incredible blessing from God the Father that leads to eternal life. Psalm 133, verse 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life, forevermore. Hebrews plainly tells us to let brotherly love continue. If we are told to allow brotherly love to continue, we should be mindful that we could prevent brotherly love from taking root. We are to allow brotherly love to continue. Hebrews 13, verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Brotherly love is more than just a good idea. It is a commandment given to us by Jesus Christ right before his torture and execution. When we have brotherly love, people will know we are the disciples of Jesus. And when we see many not responding to the calling of God the Father, it tells us brotherly love must be made perfect in our life. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.